Well, since you guys are so engaged, since you're on the stage, you get the seat of honor. You get to answer the first question.
Yes.
You know the answer. All right. Yes, you're right. How'd you get it? Because it's on my shirt. You guys see my shirt? Yeah. You're going to see lots of people with the shirt. Sorry. What does that remind you of?
God.
Yeah, the bumper sticker. How about our sermon series we've been on for 9 weeks now? 10 weeks. 10 weeks. This is our 10th week talking about gospel life. So you guys should know a ton about gospel life. What is it? Tell us what a gospel life is.
It's when you live your life 100% according to God.
Oh. Oh, good answer. What else?
It leans completely on Jesus.
Depend completely on Jesus. Awesome. Yes, that was another good answer. All right, you're up next. What are some of the stories we looked at that helped us understand the gospel life?
Oh, pick me.
We talked about the person that was with the tax, Matthew, the tax collector.
Tax collector, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Yeah, we did. Can you tell me then, what did we learn from Matthew, the tax collector?
Oh,
I thought this was your answer.
God followed him.
Yeah, what did that show us, though, about a gospel life? What does that tell us?
We should just get up and follow him.
Obedience, right? A gospel life is one of obedience to Jesus. What about the faith one? Go ahead, tell me.
Like whenever the guys lowered the guy into the roof thing.
Yeah. The paralyzed guy, they couldn't get to the house. You guys remember that? And he lowered him through the roof, and Jesus was like, what's going on? You're getting me dirty. And then all of a sudden, what do we learn from that?
Yeah, the guys have
faith. How? What kind of faith?
They had faith because they wouldn't stop. They didn't stop.
In?
You know what I mean?
Action, right? We put our faith into action.
Oh, yeah, they put their faith into action.
They actually acted it out. Good. All right. You guys are listening. That's pretty good. We're on Mark chapter 3. You guys got Bibles?
Oh, yeah.
Bam!
All right. Pop them out. We're looking at the screens. Mark chapter 3. And we're starting in verse 7 tonight. Yeah. Nice. All right. While you guys are turning or Googling or whatever you're doing to get there, how many of you guys have ever played Red Rover before?
No.
Yeah, that's right. You guys, seniors, played it today. It is dangerous. I will agree. How about kickball? Everybody's played kickball, right?
Yeah, that's dangerous.
Look, I got to stand up because I feel like... Okay, now I can see you.
That's also dangerous.
Standing up?
No.
Oh, kickball?
And standing up.
All right, well, here's the deal with me when I was little. Have you ever, like, when you play kickball, you know how you're going to make teams?
Yeah.
Have you ever done, like, the captain style where you're like, you pick, then you pick, then you pick? That's dangerous. Why? Because have you ever been like the last one picked?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Thank you.
I was always. Hey, listen. You guys are wild. If you're gonna sit here, you gotta behave. That's our one deal we got going on. All right. So listen, I was always the last one getting picked. Every single time. Yeah, I know. Oh, poor Rob. I felt bad. And so every single time until I was. First of all, if you can't, I know you can never imagine this, but I was a chunky kid. Okay. I know it's hard to believe looking at me now, but I was a chunky kid, so I couldn't run very fast. I wasn't the most athletic kid, and I was always picked last until one day we were playing kickball and everybody realized that my weight gave me leverage. And every time I kicked the ball, it would like go right out of the park. Like, we want the chunky kid. So it was always like all of a sudden. And then like we were playing Red Rover. All I had to do was like lean my belly into the line, you know, boom, I broke that line every single time. So they're like, we want him. So I started getting picked first. And I was like, woohoo, I had never got picked first before, you know. Most of you guys always get picked first. So like, you don't even relate to me. Yeah. But if you know what I'm talking about. What?
How do they all get picked first?
That's true. Try to figure that one out. That's a mathematical dilemma, isn't it? But like that one time, I still remember the first time I ever got picked first. The captain of the team was like the most athletic kid in the class. I was like, here I go again. I'm going to be last. And he was like, I want you for my team. So I was like, well, it was like elementary. So it was more like, I want you for my team because he was just a little kid. But anyway, so I got picked and I remember how awesome that felt. Because I was like, dude, this is the first time I ever got picked first for something, like ever. And it felt awesome. And the story that we're going to look at tonight, there's some guys here in this story that get picked first among like all of these people. And I just want you to keep that in mind as we look at these guys. Are you guys there yet? Mark chapter 3?
Yeah.
All right, Mark 3, verse 7, we're going to start. It says, Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea, and a great crowd followed from Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem and Idumea and from beyond the Jordan and from around Tyre and Sidon. That's a lot of places right there. When the great crowd heard all he was doing, they came to him. And he told his disciples to have a boat ready for him because of the crowd, lest they crush him. For he had healed many, so that all who had diseases pressed around him to touch him. And whenever the unclean spirit saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." And he strictly ordered them not to make him known. And he went up on the mountain and called to him those whom he desired. And they came to him, and he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him, and he might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. He appointed the 12, and here they are, right? Here's the list, the roster. Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Boanerges, that is sons of thunder. That's a sweet name right there. All right. Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew and Thomas and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and that one's a cool name too. We have a Thad in our youth group, don't we? And Simon the Zealot in high school, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. All right, so who can tell me? I need a smarty pants in the room. Who can summarize what we just read? What's happening in that story we just read? Let's see how well you were listening. Go ahead.
Wait, Jesus was going out into the wilderness, and then people were following him because they wanted to touch him because he was awesome.
Yeah, down by the sea.
He went up on the mountain, and he called out 12 people so that they could preach for him, and they came to him, and then he gave them new names.
That was a good little... Give her a hand. Good job. All right, Chelsea. Yeah. Chelsea was listening. All right, that's enough. That's enough. Too much hand. Okay. All right, so let's just look at that first part because this says something really awesome about our Jesus. Something really, really sweet. When it says Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea, we've already studied why Jesus would have to go to the sea. Do you guys remember why? Why would he go into like deserts and out by the seashore and stuff like that? Who remembers? Yeah. And so, therefore, there was what?
A wider space of area.
Yeah, there was more open space where there weren't as many people, so he could cram all these people around. If they were in the city, what would happen? Or in, like, the little towns?
People would be staying on
buildings. Yeah, remember the story where the guys had to cut the hole in the roof? The town was so crammed, they couldn't even see in the front door. So he would start, the crowds got so big by this point, he would just have to go all the way down by the sea. And he didn't just go down there so he could meet with them. Look at what else happens. And a great crowd followed, like usual, right? Because he's awesome. From Galilee, and then like it says, all these different places where people came from. People all over like the known world are hearing about this guy who's healing people. He's casting out demons. He has this incredible authority. And they're like, what is going on? We have to see this guy. You know, like every story we've read so far about Jesus, he has this huge crowd after him, right? This is like, they're describing all the different places he's from. And people are just coming from everywhere because they want to see how he does all this stuff. So they're coming to see Jesus, and look what happens. When the great crowd heard all that he was doing, they came to him, and he told his disciples to have a boat ready. Why did he need a boat? They're going fishing? What's going on? Because they were crowding so much. What would have happened if they had just stood like on the shore, according to Jesus? Yeah. What was he afraid of happening?
They would get too much around him. And if he got on a boat, they couldn't walk.
Yeah, we'll just say right there on the screen in the last couple words. They're going to crush him. Like, I don't know if you've ever been in a big crowd before. Have you guys, like, a huge crowd, maybe at a concert or something where there's, like, so many people, it's so loud, and, like, you can't even see. There's just a ton of people around you, and it feels, like, kind of weird, like, oh, I'm going to get squished. You ever felt that? I was at this fireworks show once for a New Year's fireworks show. There's this, basically the KFC. Anybody like KFC? Or how about like Chick-fil-A? Anybody like Chick-fil-A?
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
The Chick-fil-A of Guatemala is called Pollo Campero. Can you guys say that? Try it. Yeah, good job. You little Spanish speakers. That's great. So that it means chicken camp. Chicken camp. It's like the KFC of Guatemala. And so the owner of that is really rich. And every year for New Year's, he goes in the center of Guatemala City, where there's all these people, and there's a big field, and he has this amazing fireworks show that he pays for, so everybody in the city can come out and watch. But this whole field is like fenced in, and only certain people, mostly like his family and closest friends, are allowed inside like the gates of the field. But the whole rest of the city, like thousands and thousands of people, will all gather around the fence and watch the show. And so my friend's dad worked for this guy, for the owner. And so he had tickets to be able to get inside the gate and sit with the family and like go in. And he's like, you can come with us, but you got to be here by a certain time. If you come after that time, you'll never get in. There's too many people. Well, you know me. And so I was like, nah, sure. I'll be able to get in. So don't worry. So I show up late. I show up and I'm right in the middle of this amazingly huge crowd. There's so many people everywhere. I couldn't even see the gate. I couldn't even see where the fence was. And the longer I stood there, the more this crowd grew and grew and grew until eventually they were so pressed together that like I had been forced pretty much up to this fence. And people are just like cramming closer and closer to see these fireworks the closer it got to when they were going to shoot them off. And as they pushed, I just get getting squished more and more into the fence. And I'm like, oh no, I can like almost not breathe. I'm getting so squished into this thing. And then people started getting crazy. Uh-oh, you cut me or you got closer. So they started like pushing a little bit. And then I started getting a little more crazy. And then people started like throwing punches. And it was like this little riot went down. And I like, seriously, an old lady like gave me like an elbow. I was like, ah, what's going on? Like it was nuts. And then all of a sudden the security guards saw me squished up to a fence. Cause I was like the one like white skinned person. And they're like, oh, what's that poor American doing? And so they like literally opened it. And then like came out and stopped the crowd and like brought me in, or else I would have got squished right in that fence, like almost crushed. And Jesus is kind of like standing in the situation where there are so many people that are so intensely wanting to see him that they're going right up at him. And remember that if you touch Jesus and you had leprosy, you'd be like, whoa, I'm better. Like your faith from touching Jesus was healing people. So they all wanted to be able to touch Jesus so that they could be healed. So you have all these people that are just crowding around wanting to get to him. And Jesus is saying, I won't even be able to talk to these people. Like, they're literally going to just come and crush me. There's so many of them. So we need to come up with a solution. And so he says, get this boat, put it on the water, and we'll get out just far enough that the people can't come out to it, and then I can address the crowd from out there. And so they do it, right? Why do you think all these people are following this guy like that? Any ideas? Like, what's the attraction? AJ? Yeah, like these people want to get healed. That's a great answer, wouldn't you? You know, like who wouldn't, right, in this room? Who wouldn't want to follow this guy who's healing people? He's got like, he does all these miracles you get to see. He's like, he really loves people. And if you're around him, things, good things are going to happen. So they want to see this Jesus. And look what happens. After Mark tells us this little story about Jesus, what he's doing is like showing us how much authority he has. You guys remember we've been talking about this word authority as we talked about Jesus over the past couple weeks. What does authority mean?
Like the power over people.
Power or control over people or things, yeah. What else could it mean? Control, yeah.
Like respect.
Respect. Any other thoughts? These are all good answers. This is pretty good. Jesus definitely has the power to do pretty much anything, right? Because why? He's God. That's a great answer. He's God. He can do anything. He has all the authority so much that look at this next verse that Mark shares with us in his gospel. Verse 11. And whenever the unclean spirits saw him, first of all, you got to answer a question for me. What's an unclean spirit? This is an angel with leprosy. Is that what's going on?
No.
Remember we talked about unclean? What is it? What does that mean?
It's a demon,
a fallen angel, right? And so whenever these fallen angels see Jesus, look what happens. They fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." Whoo! Like, do you know that the angels are the highest of all God's creation, the most powerful of anything God ever created? They're not equal with God by any means, because God created them. But they are the most powerful things that were ever created in the whole universe. And so Jesus is able to look at the most powerful beings, and just that they saw Jesus, just being in his presence, they fall at their, on their faces before him. He doesn't even have to say a word. Like, they just see the king of the universe and know they're in trouble because they've rebelled against him. They see him and they're just like, ah, and they just fall down. That's how much authority Jesus has. How much power and respect, somebody said, he has from them, because they know who he is, who he really is. Everyone in this story is looking at Jesus and realizing who he is. Like, these crowds want to be around him because they realize there's something special about him. These demons see him and know exactly that he's the Son of God, but people are getting it. You know, like, as I think about us as believers and we say we follow Jesus, I hope that we're able to really get who he is. Like, I hope we're really able to think of Jesus and know Jesus in such an intimate way that we get why he's so powerful We understand why we should be like just falling on our faces before him saying, whatever you want me to do, you're worth it. Because he's that awesome. Like, he's the Son of God. And so these people got it. They understood his authority. And Mark does a really good job setting up all of this power that Jesus has, because he's about to do something really awesome. He's going to introduce something really important to us. And here it is in verse 13. Are you ready? He says this, "And he went up on the mountain and called to him those whom he desired, and they came to him." What does Jesus do here? Is he ordering Chick-fil-A? You guys awake? What's he do? It's up there, read it. Where does he go?
On the mountain.
What's he doing on the mountain? What does that mean? Who's he calling? Is he picking up his cell phone? What's he doing?
He's
calling on some disciples. Which ones?
The 12.
12 of who? Whom he what? So he's specifically looking at all of his disciples when he has tons and tons and tons of people following him. And out of those people, even out of his closest disciples, he's looking and he's picking 12. The ones he desires out of all of them, he's picking, like me and like and playing kickball in a Red Rover. Like, me, really? Like, you're actually picking me? What? What's going on? Jesus looks at these guys and he calls them to himself. And guess what they did? They came to him. Why not? Wouldn't you? You said that. Wouldn't you? Like, they know he's the Son of God, the Messiah, this amazing guy that everybody's following. They've been able to walk next to him for so long. Like, they're seeing his ministry. They're seeing how incredible he is. Now, I don't know if you're here tonight and you're just kind of like, yeah, he's like some guy. Yeah, I hear about him a lot. His name's Jesus. Rob talks about him every week. But you haven't like grasped just how awesome Jesus is. Not just in like some cool, trendy way, but like how amazing he is for your life, because he saved you from hell if you believe in him. He's washed your sins away. He allows you to know the God of all creation and be in a right relationship with him. He gives you heaven. Like, this guy is phenomenal. We can't count all the things he's done for us. That's a reason to be like, I'll follow. Call me. Please call me Jesus. And so these guys are in that boat. He's like, I'm going to pick the ones that I desire. These guys that are, I'm specifically appointing to something I have for them. I have a plan and I'm calling them. And guess what? They came to him, it says, because he has the authority. If anybody has the authority to pick these guys to further his kingdom, to start his church, Jesus does. And Mark set that up, that if anybody else could do it, it would be Jesus. And he uses that authority to call these guys. They come, and look what happens in verse 14. And he appointed 12. Out of all these people, we just saw how many, they were coming from over the whole world, and he picks 12. Why do you think he picked 12? I mean, I know we can't see in the mind of Jesus to know exactly why he did what he did. But what are some ideas? Why do you think maybe some possibilities are?
To further his ultimate plan.
Absolutely. They had a really specific job that he wanted from them, and it was to go plant churches. We see that he calls them what? What's the name that he also calls them? It says there. Apostles. What is an apostle? Who knows what that means? Any smarty pants in the room? What's an apostle? What? I think you're right. Who said it? You said it? Church what?
Planters.
Planters, yes. Awesome. Good job. There's a bunch of smarty pants in that row right there. That's the row. All right, so you guys get a challenge for yourselves. They're church planters. These are the guys that Jesus is calling to go start his churches. How many tribes of Israel were there? You guys remember? There were 12. They were God's people, right? And so as we just looked at how Jesus is now going to start his church. Well, isn't the church God's people as well? Remember that Jesus said things are being made new, and Jesus is coming in and taking God's people, and it's not just the Jews anymore. It's everybody who follows Jesus. Paul, in some other letters we've even looked at, he talked about how the Jews and the Gentiles are all part of this body. And so Jesus is now establishing his people between Jews and Gentiles, everybody. So all of us in this room tonight can have this gift that he offers. And so he chooses 12. It's kind of like a symbol of the 12 tribes. Now he's got these 12 guys that are going to go out and start churches for him to show, these are my people. You don't have to just be a Jew anymore. Now it's open to everybody to follow me if they believe and they confess their sin. And so this is an amazing thing that they get to do. this is an awesome opportunity. And it says that Jesus appointed them. Now, you might be sitting here tonight and you're like, good for them. You know, like, cool. I've heard of a lot of people that Jesus has called to do sweet stuff. But did you know that you, if you believe in Christ, have been appointed? That Jesus has a specific plan. It says that he calls those that he desired, but you know what? He desires you. If you've believed on Jesus and given your life to him, that means he's desired you. And you've come, and now he has this plan, this appointment for you, for your life. You might not even know it yet. How cool is that? Like, you're just sitting there, and you still haven't quite figured it out. But it's cool and exciting because he does have one for you that you still get to discover. I don't know what gifts you have. I don't know what talents. I don't know how he knit you together perfectly, what kind of passions he put in your heart to do something. But God has made you perfectly the way he wants you, and he has an appointment for you. He has a role for you to further his kingdom if you believe in him. How many of you guys know what the Great Commission says? Chelsea?
I'm listening.
You can just give us a gist. You don't have to even...
Go and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all I've commanded, and I'll be with you until the end of the
day. Good job. So what's the main gist of that? What are we supposed to be doing then? Making what?
Making disciples.
We're supposed to be going out sharing the news of Jesus with other people, teaching them about Jesus. So guess what? You already have part of your appointment, part of what Jesus has already called you to do. Because we're all supposed to do that if we're believers. We're all given the Great Commission, so you guys are being called to help Jesus build his church too, just like these 12 guys. So don't sit there and be like, oh, good job for those 12. You're on the team too if you believe in Jesus. You got picked. And Christ is calling you to go do the same thing, to go out and share with your friends at school, people on your sports teams, maybe your own family. Share this good news we keep talking about every week about Jesus, because he's called you to that. Not just like, hey, you should probably do this, but like, this is a specific plan for you, to use you in an awesome way to bring his good news to people and plant his church. That's sweet. And then it says, so that they might be with him. He called them so that they might be with him. What do you think that means? Any ideas? Why does he call them so that they can be with him? Chelsea again. Oh, AJ's got his hand up too. You want AJ? AJ, go.
So they can learn from him and they can go out and teach.
Bingo. So they can be around this guy and learn from Jesus. They can see what he's like so they can become more like him, right? And then the more they become like him, look what happens. And he might send them out to preach. So the more they become like Christ, the more they're able to be sent out and preach about who Jesus is because they know him so well and they've become like him. And then they can help other people become like them. Now listen, I don't know if you guys are already like involved in stuff like this. If you're already like thinking about people at school that you really want to share the good news of Jesus with. If you're thinking about people maybe in your family that you want them to know Jesus. And if you're not, maybe you should start thinking. We talked a lot about who's your five, remember? Remind me what that means. What does who's your five mean?
Five people that you're guiding along with.
Five people that you're trying to bring closer to Jesus, that you're concerned for, that you love, that you want to know God. And so that's a great description of it right there. So that you can go out and preach. I mean, so you can go out to these five or these however many you have and share this awesome news because you spent time with Jesus. Now, you don't have to raise your hand for this part, but I'm going to ask you the question. In your mind, I want you to answer it, okay? But don't say it out loud. But how many of you guys spend time with Jesus? Not just on Wednesday nights or Sunday mornings, but you literally like spend time studying his word. Not just reading it and then putting it down and be like, yeah, that was good, but actually like studying his word. How many of you guys make the time to have maybe a devotional book that you read through that helps teach you? And every single day you're sitting down just studying who Jesus is. You're praying to him. You're worshiping him. You're around other people that love him, kind of like we're doing here right now. And as you do that, the more you're around Jesus through studying, through praying, through being with people who love him and talking about him, the more you're spending time with him. And the more you're going to become like him so that you can then go out and do this great commission. The thing he's appointed for you to do. Each in your own special way. Like Chelsea might not do it the same way as AJ. But you both get the same mission. And God's going to use you for different ways to accomplish that awesome mission he has because he's appointed you. He's called you to do that. So listen, part of being living a gospel life is knowing that you're called to it, is knowing that He has this awesome plan for every single one of you sitting in this room if you believe in Jesus. So don't just sit there and stay in like some little like box that you have about like what your life is going to look like and what this is church over here and I keep that over here, but then like my time's over here. But as we start to live a gospel life, we say, this is all Jesus' time. Like this whole thing is for Jesus. Everything I do is for Him because He's called me, He's appointed me, and I want to live for Christ, all of it. Not just like my 30 minutes at church or my 10 minutes in my Bible study, but the whole thing's His. And so I want to use the whole thing for Jesus. That's what a gospel life means. It's all His, your whole entire life. And then look what it says that they have, that last phrase. And have authority to cast out demons. What do you think on, what on earth do you think that means? You get saved all of a sudden, like, Jesus calls you to this mountain. And He's like, look, I want you to be one of my apostles. You're going to spend time with me. You're going to go out and preach the word. And then you're cast out some demons. What's going on here? Now, I'm not saying you. I'm saying these guys that got called up were told this, all right? So what's He telling them? Yeah, they're going to cast out demons. Now, why is that important? What has Jesus been doing?
Casting out demons.
Why has He been able to cast them out? What did we just say, that big A word?
Authority.
Authority. So all of a sudden, this authority that was Jesus, was Jesus's? You're not laughing with me. That's okay. Was also whose?
The apostles.
These guys that He called. So He's not like, you're going to be a bunch of weaklings that have no power, and you're just going to go out and try to tell people on the side of the road they need Jesus. They're just going to walk by you. He's saying, no, I'm giving you authority, so much authority that the most powerful beings in all of the universe under God are going to be able, they're going to bow to you, not bow to you, but they're going to listen to you. And when you command them out of people, they're going to go. You know why? Not because Chelsea's really strong. Not so that AJ looks really awesome when he does it, but because you're going to do it in my name. In the name of Jesus, you're going to do this. And Jesus' authority, and for Jesus' glory, they're going to leave. That's some huge authority that you're going to have. It's not going to be yours. It's going to be Jesus's. But He's letting you use it as you accomplish His mission. You see that? And so, one thing I think we need to realize as believers is that we have some awesome authority. Like sometimes we feel like we're the outcasts. You know, we see so many stories of believers who are persecuted and like martyred. And, oh, we have no, we're just these weaklings and the world pushes us around. We are believers in Jesus Christ, and we have the authority of Jesus Christ. So when you go out and you share this awesome word, the world can do its worst to you, and you're still acting exactly how Jesus wants you to. You're still accomplishing some amazing things, whether you see them or not, because you're acting with the power and the authority of the God of the entire universe. That's huge. So sometimes I have a hard time thinking we can come to Firehouse or church or whatever and just sit there and listen and be like, yeah, this is all sweet stuff. And the reason why we don't like click and be like, let's go do this is because we really don't grasp this. We don't get how much authority God actually has given us as believers. That little Jenks right here gets up and goes and starts telling people about Jesus with the authority of Christ. These people are going to accept Jesus and He's going to build the church of Christ and God's going to do it through him because He's given him that authority. And every single one of you in this room that has that power, that has that, you're distracting me. Dib, 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 dib. I'm so lost now. Every single one of us in this room that has that has been given that authority and that you guys can go do that. So listen, you're not just, and then fill in your name, whoever. Like I would say, I'm not just Rob. I am Rob with the power of Jesus Christ living inside of me called the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit, who is God, is living in me, giving me the power to go do what He's called me to do. He's not going to just leave us hanging. He's going to say, hey, DJ, I want you to go out and do this for me. Build my kingdom, and I'm giving you the power to do it, dude. Go do it. Get up and go. And so He does this, and look, He gives us the team roster here at the very end, the last couple verses here, and He lists all these guys that He appointed. That's really cool. If you like read this thing and just place your name in that list. I'm not saying you're one of the apostles, but I am saying that you're an apostle. I'm saying that God has called you to build His church in the same way. And so as you read that list, don't just think it's this vague list of people that were like from the Bible, and they're old guys that we don't know about anymore. But know that Jesus is still using people today to build his church. And guess who those people are? You. You guys. As you go out and share Christ with people and live with his authority and show them who Jesus is and why he's so stinking awesome that they're going to just like flock around him because he is the Messiah. All right? That's gospel life. Will you guys pray with me as we close? Father God, we love you and we thank you for what you've done for us. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Son, that he has died for every person in this room to forgive our sins. And Lord Jesus, God, we lift you up and say, you are awesome. It's a privilege to follow you. And Lord, I pray for every person in this room that we realize the authority that we have in Christ, that belongs to Christ, but he's given it to us to serve him. Help us to use that, to act in your power. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.